listening to Nuts and Bolts, a podcast about gear and music. With some of your favorite artists, I will dive into the practicalities of how they make their work. Twisting those knobs and pushing those buttons.
Like, I went to India to find myself. No, I went to India to go hang out. It's always a way to make it work. Like, that's what I love about me. Like, one thing I have to say, I love about me, I am so innovative. That's how I got the nickname Jalen the Innovator. When Dark Energy was made, I didn't have no gear.
How does that work?
Exactly. See what I'm saying? He's right. I had a whole album with no gear. Dark Energy was, I had waves, yeah. But I didn't have no gear. Not really. That's what I mean. Like, being innovative. And a lot of, just because you can't do it one way don't mean you can't do it another way. Like, it's always a way to do it. Like, it might be harder, but you can do it.
Jalen, the innovator, makes quote-unquote naked electronic music. Her propelling, layered rhythms have roots in the Chicago footwork genre, but her work has long since grown into a room of its own. There's a sense of ecstasy and power to her albums Dark Energy and Black Origami, released on Planet Moo in respectively 2015 and 2017. Last year's album, Autobiography, is made up of music Jalen made for the dance company of choreographer Wayne McGregor. You can still catch them on tour together these days. Other prominent collaborations were with ambient composer William Basinski and avant-garde electronics composer Holly Herndon. I spoke with Jalen over Skype while she was in her hometown, Gary, Indiana.
Piece of gear was I had like some JBL controllers. They were like $100. Then when I first got some money, I got those. So this was like being back in maybe 2000, maybe 10 or 11. Because this was before I had started working in the steel mill, so I wasn't financially as stable as I am now. Back then, those were the first things I got. Then when I started working in U.S. Steel, the next piece of equipment I got was the machine too.
The machine, by Berlin-based company Native Instruments, is a MIDI controller that comes with a user software and a sound library. On the machine itself, you've got tabs you can hit to trigger digital samples, drum sounds for instance, and knobs to regulate effects and other parameters.
Justin Aswell Blackwood, that's his name. He used to have these tutorials on YouTube showing how to play the drum machine. Like, he could just play like freestyle, and I wanted to learn how to do that. And so that's what made me buy it. I was like, yo, I want to know how to do that. And then I got decent enough at it. He would go like slow so you understood. And I'm one of them people that I can just do it once, and then once I get a feel, I then realize, like, I know what I'm doing. It's just a matter of my mental catching up with my physical. So then once that happened, I can just keep going. Once you get it, you know, you freestyle it the way you want to. And a lot of people don't even know, like, I did that, but I did. Like, because I don't use the method, like, when I'm performing, because I perform through Ableton. But, yeah, I know how to finger drum.
I asked her if she uses finger drumming these days when creating the beats for her records.
Honestly, I think I get more flexibility when I make it in the grid myself than I do in it out, because I'm not that good. I'm not as good as the grid. But I could, like, draw out, like, a basic pattern with me, like, manually doing it and then putting it in the grid and breaking it down and, you know, manipulating it the way I want it to sound. The king of this is Abraham Music and probably Jeremy Ellis. Then I got an Akai Pro, the MPC, but it was the MIDI. Then I just steadily kept building after that. Then I went on to the Ableton Push 2. I learned to perform with it, and so I got one. And then Ableton was kind enough to send me one as well, so I have two. Actually, they really got tired of me putting it on my tech writer when I was in New York. So they were just like, we're just going to send you one because we're tired of you asking.
The Machine, the Akai MPC, and the Ableton Push, all three are MIDI controllers used to program beats and trigger samples through a software, in live as well as in composition settings. There are some differences between the three in things like ease of life usage, sound library size, drum pad feel. So depending on your specific needs, the one or the other will work best for you.
The controller and the Machine too, those were my first serious pieces of equipment. Then I got an Akai interface. Most people use the Arbitoint Scarlett and the Focusrite. That's mostly what everybody uses. But I have three interfaces now. I love the Native Instruments Audio 6. And I have the RME UCX and I have the RME Babyface Pro.
The basic setup for recording goes like this. You have your computer connected to an audio interface into which you plug your microphones and synths, etc. Interfaces have things like preamps that boost the microphone levels, phantom power for condenser microphones, knobs to control the recording levels. When it comes to audio interfaces, the Focusrite Scarlett and the Complete Audio 6 are great for small budgets and situations where hi-fi sound is not the biggest priority. The RMEs, however, they're a step up in both quality and price, with the Babyface Pro winning when it comes to portability.
My speakers are Genelec 8020s. That's what I use because I like the clarity of Genelec a lot. And but I vouch for the Yamaha HS5s. Like, if you can't afford the Genelec, the 8020s, because they are kind of on the pricey side, if you can get the Yamaha HS5s, you bat in 1,000.
Yes, the Yamaha HS series are a great starter's option. The HS5 is good for working in a small, untreated room, the way many of us start out. And when you improve your room, you might consider going for the HS7 or 8. It's still very affordable. Genelecs, however, are a great option if you want to get professional about your listening situation.
People want to work on the road, like, I use headphones, and I'm like, no, that's the quickest way to get ear fatigue. So what I am a speaker person, like, I have to listen out loud. The only time I use headphones is if I'm trying to do something really intricate, which is rare. Otherwise, I would play out loud. So I got two Bluetooth wireless JBL Charge 4. I take that on the road because they sync together, and then I work on the road. That's smaller than your average speaker, but they hit, like, hard. It actually came up when I was on Instagram Live the other day, and somebody threw that out there. They were like, you know, when you're traveling on the road, and what kind of speakers do you use? And people were like, yo, you know, I use headphones. And I'm like, I run away from headphones because that is the fastest way to get ear fatigue. Yeah, like, the fastest way. Like, if you play your music out loud versus playing it, like, so condensed in your ear canal, like, you can't hear because the space is tight. It's just your headphones and your ear canal. Like, no, it should be out loud. It should be around you so you can get a feel of what you're listening to. I mean, you can get a feel in your headphones, but after a while, it's going to get tiring. I play back a lot. So if I sat there with headphones doing playbacks like that, I wouldn't even want to finish the track, let alone start it. Yeah, it would make me frustrated. I can't do it.
If you want to do mixing in a portable setting like that, just be aware of the character of your speakers, its so-called frequency response. You should be able to find product reviews that include information about that. For example, smaller speakers tend to be stronger on the high and weaker on the low frequencies than your average speaker, so you'll want to compensate for this in your mix. When it comes to which DAW to use, you know, the software for recording and editing, Jalen is again a master of making it work.
FL Studio was a big one.
Yeah, that's my main reason. Uh-huh. Is another one I know how to use is a Sony Acid Pro. That's actually old school, but I still like it for certain things. Is it Sony Acid Pro 6 I use? I think it might be 6, but FL Studio, that's my main dog. Like when I'm chopping stuff, I literally would use like Audacity to chop a sample. The free version of Audacity. I like my old school methods because like that's how I came up. In Cool Edit, I use that, like not Pro Tools, but this thing called Cool Edit. I love Cool Edit. I haven't sampled in years, actually. Yeah. But if I was going to chop a sample, I would use Cool Edit or Audacity to chop a sample. And then I would drag it into the DAW and start creating the instrumentation around the sample. Native instruments and a lot of the products that like we like to use, like one of them is called Complete. Basically what Kontakt is Kontakt is one of the programs inside of Complete 11 to 12, because it's in all of them actually. Kontakt is like a library inside of a library, basically. It's massive. It's my go-to. Like honestly, like Kontakt is like my, like the nucleus of everything for me. The amount of stuff I have loaded in Kontakt is ridiculous.
Kontakt and Complete, all K's, no C's, are native instruments software programs. They include vast sound libraries and sound manipulation possibilities. You can assign these sounds to the pads or keys of your MIDI controller and play it like an instrument.
I like the fact that everybody kind of goes and uses Kontakt as the means to which to play the sound out as the player, because it makes it a lot easier, because most people, they have Kontakt. When you go to get like a sound kit or whatever, it's probably like Kontakt, or it's probably like already a VST of a program you already have. That's what I do, because it makes it easy for me versus having to go out and buy a whole bunch of software. I just go out and find sounds I like and be like, oh, okay, let me get this because I got the program already or the VST already. Yeah, I had a plugin, so I just go and like, oh, I like this sound. Let me, get by that, throw this in with the rest of my collection. So yeah, like that's how I do. I love sound, so for me, it's never enough. It's like, I love adding to my arsenal. It's great. I got Complete 12 because I did a project for Native Instruments where they wanted to test out sounds from the new libraries that they had added to Complete 11 at the time, because that was the latest one out at that time. And so they gave it to me for free because I was creating from it, because I love percussion. Everybody kind of knew it was like, okay, Jalen definitely going to go for like the African, the Indian, the Cuban. Like, she's going to go for that. And, I did, because I love the sound. And I created from it and made this piece, and they really liked it, and, you know, and they put it, like, as a sample. It was cool. It was me and a bunch of other artists.
Jaylin also records acoustic material herself now and then, like vocals on Black Origami by Dope St. Jude's and by Fox. So I asked her what she uses to do that with.
Yeah, I just got basic, like a baby blue, like a bluebird. I just call it baby blue. I want to get a new mic, though. Still bluebird, but like just the upgrade of the one I got. I run the mic through the Babyface share. Actually, I have to do acoustic recording in Chicago next week for 2 days. And they both are like 8 to 12 hour days. So yeah, I got a massive project coming up. So yeah, I do enjoy it though.
As for using effects, you know, delays, distortion, pitch shifters, etc.
Like I just started getting back into effects. I left effects for about 2 years. Like I wasn't really using effects like that, but I'm back at it again because I guess I realized I missed it. And I was like, oh man, effects do kind of give the track that, you know, that knock that you're looking for, so, or that edge. So, yeah, I'm back to using effects now. At least for now. I mean, I change up so much, so. It all depends on how I feel. I'm a moody creator, so, yeah.
And whether she messes with mixing or keeps a strict division between that and the creation process.
Before I hand it to an engineer, I try to get it as good as I can. Like, I don't believe in handing the engineer, like, shitty stuff. So I try to get it as mixed down as I can. It causes a hassle if we having to toss this back and forth. So I try to get it down as good as I can before we even start. So they not telling me, hey, can you turn that bass down? Hey, can you do, like, no. Because once I move on, I'm not trying to go back. So I just get it as good as I can. I know how to master myself too, but I just don't have time for that. Something or get something to sound a certain way. If I want to like get something to sound a certain way, then I go to YouTube and be like, how do I do whatever the technical term is I'm trying to do? Not like a delay or like an echo or nothing like that, but like something maybe more like how do I cut something into like halftime, but manipulating it into like where I can sample it in different sections at a time. Like stuff like that. If you want to do it, you can do it. Like that's where I've always been. Like I've been doing this now for so long.
The importance of YouTube as a platform for gear knowledge can't be stressed enough, I think. Go there and search for stuff. Speaking of creating, I wonder whether Jaylin's new record is in the works yet.
My next record, I don't even know when it's coming out. I mean, ideally, I would like it to come out maybe next year, but like, that's not a guarantee. Yeah. Not right now. I'm just writing. I'm enjoying this. I'm writing. I'm not writing for a record. I'm just writing. If I feel like I got enough to compile a record, yeah. But like right now, I'm just writing. I'm enjoying composition.
I was curious whether working with dancers and a choreographer on Autobiography provided particular creative challenges and growth moments, seeing as how a project like that will have needs that differ quite a bit from your regular record project.
It's a constant growth process, of course. Like, yeah, it's more of a personal thing. It's not even really the production part. The production part is the skill, but the spiritual aspect is important of creating. That's when it becomes personal. Your personal is before my professional, personal is before the creative part. The personal part got to be intact first.
I'll leave you with Godmother, a track by Jaylin and oftentimes collaborator Holly Herndon. Using a program called Spawn, Herndon created a so-called AI baby, an artificial intelligence baby. This baby was fed all of Jaylin's work, and trying to digest it and making it into her own language, Godmother is what came out. Thanks for listening to Nuts and Bolts. Thanks to our guest, Geraldine Patton, aka Jaylin the Innovator. This episode was produced by yours truly, Jessica Slichter, and edited and mixed by Bridget Farrell and myself. Co-produced by Annegert Grimsbu-Hoyer. Thanks to Norsk Kulturfond, NOPA, and Fofo Gofo for supporting Nuts and Bolts. Find and follow us on social media and support our video project on patreon.com. We will be back with another podcast episode in May.